Blog Talk Radio.
The Dolly McCarthy Show is brought to you by Amber Waves Hair Salon, where every day is a good hair day. Amber Waves, located in downtown Naperville. And brought to you by JW Rule Landscape Services, Fast Signs Naperville, Sullivan Steakhouse, Body Bronze Sunless Spa of Naperville, the only way to tan, Massage Mastery by Sheryl in Countryside, the Naperville Trolley, ding, ding, and our newest sponsor, DuPage Credit Union. Now through July 31st, DuPage Credit Union is hosting a community school drive to benefit local students. New school supplies may be dropped off at DuPage Credit Union's Bloomingdale, Downers Grove, Naperville, or Wheaton branch offices. You could also make a cash donation to the DuPage Regional Office of Education. For details about the school supply drive, branch office directions, or additional drop-off sites, visit DuPageCU.com. That's DuPageCU.com, where you belong.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good. So good. I got you.
Hey, guys, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Dolly McCarthy Show on Internet Radio, the good show, I like to call it, that airs every Thursday morning from 9:30 until 10. I am your host, Dolly McCarthy. Thanks for tuning in to the good show every week. I bring you good topics to discuss, good news, good guests, and at least one good laugh, and I welcome your calls, so give me a call. The number to call is 347-945-7215. That number again is 347-945-7215. Hey, we have a great show today. We have plenty of guests, so we're going to get right to our guests. No commentary or no editorial by me today because we don't have time. We've got some really interesting guests today. Ann Walsh from the Lustgarten Foundation, that's a leading group in the effort to fight pancreatic cancer, will be joining us later in the show. I also have Judy Phillip, who is the owner of Lou Dog Events, and she's also the co-founder of the first ever Naperville Ale Fest. That's a craft beer festival coming up later this month in July at Naper Settlement. We're going to talk to her a little bit about that, and it's going to be quite an interesting conversation about craft beer. And then finally, my first guest will be broadcast journalist, author, successful woman, my friend Jennifer Weigel. She'll be joining us very soon to talk about her latest book entitled This Isn't the Life I Ordered, Setting Sail When Your Relationship Fails. Jennifer, are you there?
I am, but now all I can think about is Ale Fest in Naperville.
We'll get
is
to
it too
that.
Early to be thinking about that?
Whoa, beer at 9:30 in the morning? Well, it
yeah,
depends.
I'll
are
stick
you
with
camping?
My coffee. Thank you very much.
Hey, it's so great to have you on the show, and congratulations on your new book. You've written two others, and you've popped out another one, and it's this title really got my attention, as it has many people going through divorce. It's part manual, part memoir, and I have to tell you, I downloaded the book on my Kindle, and I just started reading. I'm only on the second chapter. I will be honest with you all here. But so far, I have to say, I'm finding it very inspiring. It's entertaining. I just love your honesty. I love how you mentioned how, oh my goodness, how do you tell your family that after 13 years you're going to divorce? I mean, you're just so honest, and it's funny too. So I'm really enjoying the read so far, and I can't wait to get my break this weekend and finish it up.
I'm so glad. You know, I get that a lot about the humor piece, Dolly, because the first book that I wrote was called Stay Tuned, and it was after my father passed away from a brain tumor at the age of 56. But yet, that's a very funny book, and, you know, like, death is funny. It's not. But when you have tragedy, you have to find the balance of humor to keep you going. And my second book called I'm Spiritual Damn It was about sort of finding your career path and, again, being frustrated and not feeling appreciated and all of these things. And then the third one, going through a divorce, I did a book club talk last night, I have to tell you, for several women, and they were just crushed to hear that I got divorced because they had read the first book and some of them had read the second book, and they feel like they know me and my ex-husband because that's how I write. I pull back the curtain, I let it all out, I let it all hang out there. And my family is always like, oh gosh, is this going to be in the next book, you know, whenever we're sitting together? Nothing is off limits. But I do feel that, you know, the fact that people are so afraid to be honest about how they really struggle. And I feel like if I'm honest about it, then maybe other people will be encouraged to be honest about it too, because we all like to put on that face that everything's okay. I mean, look at what social media is. It's tweeting and Facebooking all of our excellence, you know, all of our pictures from the best vacation ever and the best view ever, and we did this, and oh, isn't life great?
Right.
But
oh,
when
yeah.
you're home alone and, you know, the rubber hits the road, there are a lot of bumps in that road, and I feel like talking about them and admitting that there are times when I wonder, did I make the right decision, will help other people feel strong in their foundation as well.
And do you think that it's also helped you as a person be, well, you're so truthful and honest in here. That's difficult to do, as you said, because people, they don't want everybody to know their faults. And like you said, on Facebook, you know, we see these, the perfect image of these, of our friends and our family, and we all know there's problems. And I think we've gotten to a point in our society, though, where it's okay to have problems. It's okay to admit them, but how are you handling them? That's what people want to know. And I think, you know, I can't wait to read your other two books too, Jen. I need some time off from work to get to these books. I really do.
For well, you know what? The thing about these books, Ellie, is what I'm being told is that people read them in one sitting. It's like they sit down or one plane ride or whatever. They just plow through it, and a few hours later, they're done. It's not like a last for the whole summer kind of a read. They want to know, how does it end? What happened?
Yes.
And, you know, the way I write them is I'm writing them as they're happening, and so I don't know how they're going to end when I start the book. I really don't, because I don't know how my life is going to end. I started writing about my relationship not working out as a therapy kind of a thing for me, and, you know, admitting that you're going through therapy with your, you know, significant other is something people don't want to admit, but I'm proud of it because I feel that every couple deserves, I mean, if they are, especially if they have children, Dolly, you have to go to therapy. It's not the last resort before your divorce attorney. It's something you should do, like changing the oil in your car. I think communication between men and women is something that we assume we're going to figure out just because we made a vow. And that is not the case. I think when we make the vow, we get lazy and assume, well, we're married now, so let's phone it in. And that isn't the case. You've had to work harder, and you've got to renegotiate your contract. I say this, contracts expire between couples, and you either have a choice. You either continue and renegotiate those terms. Or how are we doing? Are we pleasing each other? Are we working together? Are we communicating? Or if you're not on the same page and you're not bringing the best out in each other and it's always a struggle, then you have to be honest about ending that contract. If it sounds very sterile, like it's business or it's real estate, but I think it's life. We, you know, we came up with this whole I do concept in marriage when people were living to the age of 33 and women were property of families, and you did a trade for land. Here, be my spouse. Okay, cool. We get 70 acres. I mean, that's how it started. So we have to recreate. It's like reinventing the wheel. We have to come up with ways to continue to thrive as couples and be partners together.
Absolutely. And I was reading in your book, too, not just, I mean, of course, yes, because it's an effort you want to make to perhaps hopefully save your marriage. But also you mentioned, too, and this is so true, you know, you could repeat the same pattern with the next relationship. So you want to go through that counseling, right, and make sure
absolutely.
That
you don't look
you do
under
everything.
The hood, Dolly. You just keep repeating the same patterns. It's like with a different costume on. It's just a different person with a different face. And it's going to be the same dynamic because you didn't look under the hood. You know, I have this friend, John St. Augustine, and he's an author, and he talks about how you've got to dig in the garden and get at the root and pull it out. Otherwise, if you keep cutting the grass, they're going to grow back unless you pull out the root. And people don't want to do that because it hurts. It's, you know, annoying to look at your family dynamic and, oh, what happened in 1973 and law. And it's not about dwelling on those things, but acknowledging this is how I got here. This is why I react this way. And that's one thing I do in this book too, Dolly, is I go to these different kind of therapists and healers, and, you know, some people call it woo-woo, but I call it spiritual. It's like, hey, if your regular therapist isn't working, let's try something different. And I meet different people who claim to have the answers. Wayne Dyer, a best-selling author, talked with me, and Dr. Mary Neal, who has a best-selling book, To Heaven and Back. She's an orthopedic surgeon who was literally unconscious and out, you know, dead for 30 minutes. 30 minutes. So she had this near-death experience. Yeah, and she's a scientist. She says, there's no way I should be talking to you now, let alone thriving. She was completely dead. She was in the light the whole nine yards. And she's a scientist, and she says, I couldn't make this up if I tried. So I take these different interviews and venues, and as I'm going through my journey of my divorce, and I try to apply it to my life. And that's the part that's so fun, is I'm not telling anyone what to believe, but I do want to tell people what happened to me, and then they can form their own opinions. Whatever they think, that's fine. I'm not forcing them down any path, but I do want to put the information out there because I think not enough people explore these different venues. We only go with the mainstream, and sometimes the mainstream isn't the right stream.
What do you think about setting sail when your relationship fails? Setting sail, what did you mean by that, Jen?
Well, when you lose everything, which is really kind of what happened, you lose your marriage and then, you know, the house, and people hold on to stuff so much, Dolly. I don't know if you feel that way, but especially the house. I think I know so many women who've gone through divorce, and it's like, I'm keeping the house. And guess what? Sometimes that's the worst decision ever because it's expensive and it's too big of a place for you and your child or whatever it is. And so when you set sail, it's like you have to make a choice to get in the boat and float. And so for me, you know, I think when we're in a relationship that's not working out, we try to do everything and fix it. And so it's like you're swimming upstream. You're fighting against the current, right? Because the current isn't in flow. You're not succeeding, but yet you're still trying and still fighting it. And it's like, you know, you're getting sucked under with the undertow and you're trying to fight it. So when you relax and you float and you let the waves carry you, that is, you know, then you're empowered. And then you're taken to the next destination where you need to be, and you're going with the current instead of against it. And so that's kind of the visual I think of when setting sail, when your relationship fails. You know, you're letting the wind take you, so you're going with the flow instead of fighting against it and getting windburn on your face.
Absolutely. I love the cover of your book, too, with the little Barbie doll on a boat.
Oh, you know what?
Boat.
My friend Megan Robinson is a very talented photographer, and she and I were going through our divorces at the same time, and she took that picture, and I saw it, and I'm like, that is the cover of my next book, and it was done. The book was done, and I didn't have, you know, the decision yet on what I was going to do, and the editors had sent them some things, and they didn't like it necessarily. They weren't sold on the ideas I'd sent them, so as soon as I sent them that, they said, done.
It's fantastic. Now, let's talk about surviving here. What's some advice you can give out, Jen? You know, I know you said that you're not, this book, you wrote it. It's the truth about your life, and you're not pushing anyone in any different direction or in one direction or the other. But you've been through this. So how did you survive this divorce?
Well, you know what?
And this life changed. You went from this beautiful dream house, and you had a child.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too. It's just because your relationship fails, Dolly, as you know, it doesn't make you a failure. And I think that's what we label. Again, we get stuck in this dream that we have to be perfect and live till we're married for 30 years and everything's great and we have the big anniversary party. And it's okay, first of all, to be flawed. It's okay if your relationship fails. It's okay to live in a really tiny house that might not be. How much do you really need? I mean, that's what I found out, is that scaling back gave me such freedom. And also, too, not holding the weight of whether my marriage was a success or not, I kept that burden on my shoulders, and I felt this incredible guilt. So I think we need to, first of all, give ourselves a break. We really do, because we cannot make or force anyone to do anything. That is the one thing I think women fail at miserably, is we think if we just convince them enough or we've just, you know, put enough information in front of them, they will change their mind. Nobody changes unless they are inspired. Change does not happen with imposition. It happens with inspiration. So that's the bumper sticker that I've learned throughout all of this, Dolly, is that we can inspire others to change, but we can't impose. You know, how do you feel when somebody comes knocking on your door and tries to get you to join the Church of All Greater Saints or whatever? You're like, go away. So it's got to come from an inspiration that you see somebody doing something. And that's what happened for me. I saw one of my friends finally pull the plug on a divorce that had been kind of really struggling for 3 or 4 years. And then I saw her happier than she'd ever been. I saw her smiling. I saw her go to yoga. I saw her just thriving. And I thought, I'll have what she's having. I want that.
And that's not just everybody listening. You know, we're not saying that this happens because of divorce. It could happen to you in other ways, even while you're happily married.
No, but stating what you want. That's another thing, too.
Getting what you want, yes.
Yeah, you have to be vocal about your needs. Otherwise, you get resentment flu, and you're bitter, party of one, your table's ready. So whether you're in a relationship or not, I think, that's the thing. This book is not just because – it's not just for people who have failed relationships. It's for people who don't feel – fulfilled in their life. This is not the life I ordered. You feel like, oh, crap, this isn't what I signed up for. And you know what? I think we do sign up for these lessons because they make us stronger. And as struggling, as much as we feel like we're struggling, we can still float and we can still survive. And not only that, we wind up at a better island than we thought. This was not what I planned, but it's better than what I thought I could have planned in the end. And that is what I realize at the end, that my life is full. I really do find happiness in every day with my son and my friends. And I call it self first. It's not selfish. You know, it's like putting your oxygen mask on. If the plane's going down, like they say, put yours on first before helping your small child. You have to do a little something for yourself. You can't be expected to do everything if you're in a relationship and do all of the housework and all of the laundry and all of these things and a full-time job and drive the kids here, there, and everywhere. But we think we can because we don't want to impose. We have to stand up for what we need and communicate those needs.
Absolutely. The book is called This Isn't the Life I Ordered, Setting Sail When Your Relationship Fails. Love the title. You'll love the book cover as well. You can download it on your Kindle. What other smart devices are there that they can download?
Everything.
Jen?
It's
pretty
available
much everything.
Now. Even if you don't have a Kindle, you can read it just on your PC because everybody's got a computer. So if you go to jenweigel.com/books and then, or just click on the books tab on my website, jenweigel.com. You'll see there's an option there. People are like, I don't have a Kindle, Jen. I'm going to wait till it's printed out. And that's fine. That'll be in the fall. But if you want it now, you can read it on any computer.
And it's only like $5.99. It's cheap. And I'll tell you, I couldn't put it down. I actually fell asleep with the Kindle on my chest because I really, I loved it. I loved it so far, Jen. You are a wonderful writer, and it's true. You just exude happiness. And whenever I see you, Jen and I talk occasionally when I'm anchoring on CLTV, and she's a guest sometimes because she's a columnist for the Chicago Tribune as well. I mean, Jen, you wear so many hats. You do so many things. It's really amazing your career, what you've accomplished in such a short period of time.
And you too, Dolly. Come on. You've been doing a lot of things, and I give you such kudos for doing this show. I'm so grateful to be on it, and you just keep spreading the good stuff, and that's what you have to do. So thank you to you as well for all you're doing.
Oh, you're so kind. Thank you. Okay, the other two books are called I'm Spiritual, Damn It, which I love that title, How to Keep Your Foot on the Ground and Your Head in the Stars. And the other one, where is that title? Stay Tuned. You know, Jen's dad was Tim Weigel. I grew up watching your dad do sports on Channel 7, Weigel Wieners, and just, you know, he was a terrific man. So hats off to you for that. I loved it. Thank you so much for being on the show, Jen. And
Thanks, Dolly, for having me. Keep me posted on everything.
Keep writing.
Oh, I can't stop. It's too late now. I can't put the toothpaste back in the tube.
Thanks again. Okay.
You bet.
My next guest is going to be Ann Walsh from the Lustgarten Foundation. Ann, are you there?
I am here.
Oh, fantastic.
Good morning,
it worked. Everybody knows how I'm struggling with this computer-based studio. And this worked perfectly. I got you on perfectly.
You seem to be doing a great job from here.
Ann is the director of events for the Lustgarten Foundation. The foundation was created to research and find ways of ending this killer disease, pancreatic cancer. And you do that in many different ways. But we're going to talk about an event coming up that you can participate in and support of the Lustgarten Foundation and helping them with pancreatic cancer research and finding a cure. But first, you know what, Ann, I want to get to? First, let me welcome you to the show, and I appreciate you being on.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Let's talk first about educating some of my listeners here. On your website, you have 5 most important things to know about pancreatic cancer. And if you don't know all 5, I can help you. But I want to point this out to people because it is a silent disease. That's number 1, right?
Yes, it is a silent disease, meaning that there are no symptoms. The symptoms don't appear until the disease has actually typically metastasized.
And it's also one of the 4th leading causes of cancer deaths.
Yes, it is the 4th leading cause of cancer deaths.
And then there are different types of pancreatic cancer. I know you're the director of events, so I don't expect you to be the expert here, but there's different types of pancreatic cancer. The rarest form is a neuroendocrine tumor?
Endocrine, yes.
Yes, so that's a rare one.
Yes, and that's the type of pancreatic cancer that Steve Jobs had.
Oh,
very
is that
rare
the one?
Time.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Very rare. How long did he survive from once he was diagnosed?
He survived a few years.
Mm-hmm.
I forget exactly, to be honest with you, but he survived a few years with the disease. Mm-hmm. And he had opted not to have surgery. And he was doing, from what I understand, holistic treatments.
Mm-hmm. A lot more research needs to be done for pancreatic cancer.
Absolutely.
What are some of
That is the mission of the Lust Garden Foundation, to fund research, because the Lust Garden was founded when Mark Lust Garden, the chairman of Cablevision, was diagnosed with the disease in 1998. At that time, the National Cancer Institute was funding less than 0.5% of their entire budget to pancreatic cancer. That was so little. Today, the amount is about at 2%, but still we need to do more. So the Lust Garden Foundation was established to fund research, and since we began in 1998, we have funded $65 million to pancreatic cancer research.
Oh, my. And so what has been the advancement since that time? That's a lot of money. There's got to be something significant happened to help cure this.
Absolutely. The genetic makeup of this cancer is more known now than ever before. We sequenced the genome of pancreatic cancer to better understand its makeup. And from that project, many other research studies are being done. There's research to identify and develop new therapies. There were no effective treatments. There are still a few effective treatments. The only cure, actually, is to have surgery, and typically the disease is diagnosed too late, and the cancer has spread, and surgery is not an option. We are also funding early detection tests. We're looking at blood tests. Vaccines are being tested for treating pancreatic cancer, and today, more than ever, there are clinical trials available for pancreatic cancer patients.
Now, some of the examples of symptoms that I was reading on your website, and if you get a chance, go to this website. It's full of great information. Would you say the website for us, Anne?
The website is www.lustgarden. It's LustGarden.org. LustGarden.org.
Fantastic. Some of the symptoms include fatigue, back pain, abdominal pain, unexplained weight loss of appetite, jaundice, nausea, and inflammation of the pancreas. Now, that could also, some of these symptoms could be anything, but are these, the symptoms, are those in combination or what?
Not
is that?
Everybody gets all of those symptoms.
Okay.
And typically, who doesn't get a backache at some point? Backache
yeah.
is the number one reason people go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. So doctors are not looking for pancreatic cancer when you go, with the backache.
You need to work with your doctor on that. You can't just diagnose yourself because you have back pain that you have pancreatic cancer, obviously.
Right, exactly. So, and everybody who has a backache should not go running.
And I know there's a huge walk coming up, and I've been honored to have been asked by your foundation to emcee the event July 28th, Naperville Pancreatic Cancer Walk. It's going to be held along the Riverwalk. Can you tell us how people can register for that and get involved if they want to volunteer?
Yes, Sure. And first, Dolly, we're so thrilled that you're going to be there with us this year. It's a great event. It's a family activity. It's a family fun event. And people can register at our website, again, www.lustgarden.org, or they can call us toll-free at 866-789-1000. And, and we're expecting about 300 people.
And I'm sure that's going to grow now that the RibFest is done. Everyone's on to the next thing. So let's get these, let's get registration up, everybody. I'll be there. Come out. Mayor Pradel is going to be there, Naperville's funny mayor, because he was voted the hottest mayor.
Oh, he's wonderful.
He'll be there. So come out and meet the mayor, and it's going to be a beautiful day. I'm going to talk to Skilling in the Weather Center here, and I know it's going to be a beautiful day for a walk along the Riverwalk. And thanks
Great.
So
and
much
Dolly,
for being on the show.
Can I just point out one more thing? It's
Absolutely.
Important for people to know this. Every donation that the Lust Garden Foundation receives, 100% of that donation goes directly to research. All of the administrative costs of the foundation are underwritten by Cablevision in New York. So every penny that's donated goes to research.
Fantastic. Good to know, Anne. Thank you so much for being a guest on the show today.
Thank you so much, Dolly. I look forward to seeing you on Sunday the 28th.
Me too. I can't wait. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye. Love talking to these foundations that are doing amazing things in the community. And speaking of amazing things in the community, the owner of Lou Dog Events and the co-founder of Naperville's very first Ale Fest joins us now. Judy, are you there? Judy Phillips?
I am here. Hi, Dolly.
Hey. Good morning. Thanks for being on the Dolly McCarthy Show.
Well,
and congratulations
to
you.
Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome. And congratulations to you. I'm really looking forward to this event in the community. A lot of people getting excited about it. We just finished Rib Fest, and I hear that ticket sales are shooting to the roof with your event. People are excited about
it. Yes, they are. I just want to make one point. I'm one of the three owners of Blue Dog Events. My partners are Mike Peters and Josh Siegel, and I want to make sure that people know that it's the three of us that are in charge of Blue Dog Events as well as the Naperville Ale Fest.
Three
so
musketeers.
Just,
so
yes,
if anything goes wrong, you can blame Mike
so
and Josh.
Well, let me just say that we couldn't do it with just one of us. We're glad that we have partners on this endeavor. It's been great.
Sure does help to have partners. This is going to be quite an event. Everybody in the town is talking about it, really, because, you know, Naperville's roots are in craft beer, Coors Light. Coors Light came much later, but Coors came from Naperville. And Judy, I'm gonna have you back on the show. We're really close. We're about 2 minutes left in the show. Quickly give us the facts about Naperville Ale Fest, July 20th.
Okay. It is July 20th. It's at the Naperville Settlement. We have general admission tickets available online at www.napervilleailfest.com. And you also can get all the information about the fest. We're going to have live music. We're going to have 10 different food vendors from the local restaurants. And we're going to have tons of great craft beer from major breweries right here in Illinois as well as all around the country. So we're looking forward to seeing a lot of people. It's going to be a great afternoon. It's from 1 till 5, and VIP is from 12 till 5. VIP tickets are sold out, however, and that's a good thing. And we are looking forward to seeing many people and hope that it's a beautiful day and we all enjoy a lot of good tastings of craft beer.
And it is going to be another good day, Judy. Don't you worry about that. Now, you have some, who are the benefactors of this event?
The benefactors are Naperville Settlement as well as the Naperville Heritage Society. And part of Blue Dog's mission is that every festival that we put on, we're an event management company, we want there to be a give back and a cause related to it. So the Heritage Society and the Settlement will be getting proceeds from this event.
All right. Judy, thanks so much for being on the show, and I'm sorry to have to cut you short. We're going to have you
okay.
on again.
Thank
shoot,
you.
Shoot to have you on again because I know Lou Dog Events has a lot of great events that they put together. So check out www.napervilleailfest.com. You can still get your tickets, everybody. Thanks again, Judy, so much. And I want to thank all of my guests on today's show, Jen Weigel, Ann Walsh from the Lust Garden Foundation. Jen, her book, is called This Isn't the Life I Ordered, Setting Sail When Your Relationship Fails. And I want to thank you, Judy, for coming on.
Thank you, Sally.
And I wish you all the best at that Naperville Ale Fest. It's going to be a great time. So check out our Facebook page, and please go to Twitter and follow us on Twitter, The Dolly McCarthy Show, on Facebook and on Twitter. Thanks again, everybody, and have a great week. And we'll see you next week. And I think that's about it. We're almost near the end. 2 seconds to go. Have a great week, everybody.
Wow! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.